This is Philosophy Bites with me, David Edmonds.
And me, Nigel Warburton.
Philosophy Bites is available at www.philosophybites.com.
Philosophy Bites is made in association with the Institute of Philosophy.
Is this a microphone I see before me? I have thee not, yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou but a microphone of the mind, a false creation? How do philosophers explain hallucinations? If a person has an hallucination of, say, seeing a microphone, does he or she have the same mental experience as if looking at a real microphone? For an answer, Philosophy Bites interviewed Fiona McPherson of Glasgow University. At least we think we did.
Fiona McPherson, welcome to Philosophy Bites.
Hello, Nigel. It's very nice to be here.
The topic we're going to focus on is hallucination. Can we clarify what a hallucination is in contrast with, say, an illusion?
Yes. At first, we should think about the case of neither hallucination nor illusion, the case where we are seeing the world and seeing the world as it is. So, for example, I might be looking at a watch sitting on a table, and I might be seeing the watch sitting on the table accurately in just the way that it is. In cases of illusion, we think that you are seeing perhaps the watch sitting on the table, but you're misperceiving certain of its properties. So as a matter of fact, your watch has a black strap, but you might misperceive it and perceive the strap as being grey. So you're seeing something but misperceiving certain of its qualities, and that's a case of illusion.
So if I look at my watch now and it seems to say 4:30, and actually it's 6:30 on the face of the watch, I'm suffering from an illusion. I'm looking at the watch, I've just misread the hands.
That's right.
Okay, so how does that differ from hallucination?
In the case of hallucination, we are imagining that you're not seeing anything at all, but in some sense, to be unpacked, it nonetheless seems to you as if you are seeing something. For example, there are no little small people standing on the table in front of us, but suppose it visually seemed to me as if there were small people standing on the table before me, I would probably be suffering from a hallucination as of small people standing on the table before me. And while philosophers have typically considered what we call total hallucinations, where everything, say, that you visually perceive is hallucinatory, of course we know that, as a matter of fact, quite often hallucinations are partial. It's only a certain proportion of what seems to be seen that is hallucinatory.
So when I'm looking at these little people wandering around on the table, to me, it looks as if they're really there. Say I'm suffering from a hallucination, it really feels like there are people wandering around on the table and they're very short. How would you explain that?
The traditional view of hallucination thinks that in the case of ordinary perception, where you are seeing your watch on the table, your light from the watch enters your eye and is registered on your retina, and then your brain starts to do certain things, and at the end of that process, there's a perceptual experience. And then the traditional view of hallucination thinks that in the hallucinatory case, one has the very same type of mental experience. It's just that it's not caused in the right way by the world. It may be caused by direct stimulation of the brain, or if you were Descartes, you might imagine it's some evil demon that's causing this experience in you. But the crucial thing in this model is that in all mental respects, the hallucinatory experience and the experience that you have when you're accurately perceiving the world are in all mental respects the same.
So on the standard view, when I look and see the table, that's because light's reflecting from the table onto my retina, it's processed in the brain, gives me this mental image. When I see the little man, it might be because, actually unbeknownst to me, there's a brain surgeon inserting a little needle into a particular bit of my brain and triggering certain sorts of responses in my brain to give me this image of a little man, even though there isn't actually a little man on the table.
That's exactly right, yes.
Obviously for Descartes that was a problem, because from the perception alone you couldn't tell whether there was really a little man out there or not, whether you were dreaming, hallucinating it or something like that.
That's right. And we can go even further than that and say, on this view of hallucination, because the two experiences are mentally alike in all respects, you would think if one can't give me knowledge, the case of hallucination, then neither can the other give me knowledge, the case when I'm genuinely perceiving the world. And so sceptical worries are raised.
Okay, so that's quite a problem in terms of accounting for hallucinations, because we're left with this scepticism. Is that the only philosophical approach to understanding hallucinations?
No, it's not. Both philosophy has come up with a different way of thinking of hallucinations, but also, interestingly, psychologists and neuroscientists have come up with a different way of understanding what might be going on in actual cases of hallucination.
So how can a psychologist explain hallucinations without that sort of causal chain explanation?
Well, psychologists might buy into that picture of hallucination, and indeed many of them think there are hallucinations of just that sort. However, they also think that there might be the possibility of another kind of hallucination. In this, the hallucination would not be the same mentally in all respects as the kind of experience you have when you're perceiving the world. Rather, the perceptual experience that you have would be different in certain respects. For example, if you imagined little people on the table, it wouldn't be the same in your mind as if you were genuinely perceiving the world. But their thought is that you imagine these little people and something goes wrong because you mistake that imagining for genuinely perceiving the little people.
Just to get that clear, if there really is a leprechaun in front of me, I have one kind of experience, but if I'm hallucinating a leprechaun, it's actually a different experience. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's right. The thought is you're having the sort of experience you would be having if you were just imagining a leprechaun. It's just that you don't realise you're imagining you're a leprechaun. You take it for an instance of seeing a leprechaun.
And is there some empirical evidence that would suggest that theory is correct?
In the case of some auditory hallucinations, there are some psychologists who think that that is the case. They do not see the brain being activated in the way that they would expect were you hearing, say, for example, someone shout your name. In fact, the brain evidence is rather unclear. But they've done some behavioural tests on people who are having these auditory hallucinations. And it looks like these people are not very good at what's called source monitoring. What that means is these people, we think, are not very good at identifying that what they're doing is hearing their own inner voice as opposed to hearing an external voice. So one piece of evidence is that if you play these people some white noise, they're far more likely to report that there are external voices talking to them than other people who don't have these hallucinations.
So this is different from the traditional way of accounting for hallucinations because it's actually saying the mental state is different. It's not that you're in the state that you would be in if there really were a little person there. It's just that you think you are.
That's right. There is something that it's like for you. It may be like having a memory of a little person. It may be like imagining that there's a little person. But you mistake what it's like for you in an important way.
Would it be plausible to say that all hallucination is of that kind?
I think not. In some visual hallucinations, in particularly in a syndrome called Charles Bonnet syndrome, there seems evidence to suggest that the brain is active in just the way it would be active were one perceiving the world. So Charles Bonnet syndrome occurs in people who are going blind or who have newly become blind, and they have very vivid hallucinations. And when you scan their brains, it looks as if the visual cortex is active in just the way it would be were they perceiving the world. In the absence of input to the world because of the failing vision, the brain itself seems to be activating itself and causing these hallucinations.
So far we've got these two explanations of hallucination. The first one is the standard view, which is that you have exactly the same kind of experience as you would were the little man actually there. The second one, you think you're having the same experience, but actually it's slightly different because it's a failure somehow to recognise that you're generating imagery internally. Does that exhaust the possibilities?
I don't think so. There are some philosophers who say that neither of those models are right and that we should consider a third model. According to this model, rather than you're having a mental experience, which is the same in all mental respects to the one you would have when perceiving the world, or that the nature of the mental is different in as much as you're having an experience where we would describe it as one of imagery, but you're mistaking it for one of perception, they think that in both the case where you're perceiving the world and in the case where you're not perceiving the world, we can say the following of both those cases, that it's not possible for you to know by introspection alone that you're perceiving the world. But they think there are big differences between what's going on in you mentally in the case of perception and the case of hallucination. In the case of perception, they don't think of the perceptual experience as occurring at the end of a causal chain and therefore caused by brain activity. Rather, they see certain brain activity as perhaps being essential for you to perceive the world. But rather, when the brain activity is of the right sort and when the world, you stand in the right relationship to the world, your perceiving is a matter of your simply being directly aware of the world, and the nature of your mental experience is captured by the relationship that you stand to objects in the world. Whereas in the bad case, in the case of hallucination, they think that all you can say is it's not possible for you to know that you're not seeing the world. Some of these philosophers think that you don't have an experience with phenomenal character. There's nothing that it's like for you to undergo this experience. It's just that you can't tell from the inside that you're not perceiving the world.
That isn't the easiest idea to understand. So could you explain it in relation to the little man on the table in front of me?
I will try. The idea is that if we compare the hallucination case to the case of perception, we can think of the brain and what the brain does when you perceive a little man on the table as, if you like, opening up a window on the world that allows you to have access to the little man who's standing on the table. In that case, there's something that it's like for you to see the little man because you're aware of his coat, his hat, and the colours that it has. In the case of hallucination, the brain might be doing the same thing, but it's giving you access to nothing. Therefore, there's really nothing that it's like for you in this case. Nonetheless, you're not in a position to tell that you're not seeing the little man. You can't tell your situation apart from the case in which you are seeing the world just by introspecting. But nonetheless, mentally, things are not the way they are for you when you are perceiving the world.
And does that have any clinical implications?
Well, an interesting thought is that clinicians wouldn't be able to tell apart whether this third kind of hallucination was occurring from the first kind of hallucination, because what the brain would be doing would be exactly the same in these cases. It's just that there are two different accounts of what's going on mentally given the brain activity that is occurring.
So with this third kind of theory, am I right in saying that it seems to be based on a different understanding of the way the mind relates to the world, as it were, that there's a connection with states of affairs in the world that actually determines a kind of mental state that we can have?
That's exactly right. On the traditional view of hallucination, the first model, we can imagine that what goes on in the mind could go on in the mind independent of how the world was. And cases of perception are just cases of being hooked up, typically by means of a causal connection, to the world in the right way. But mentally, things can be the same way, whether you're perceiving or hallucinating. On this view, things are not like that. On this view, when you're perceiving the world, you have a much more intimate contact with the world. You're in a mental state that you simply could not be in were you not actually perceiving and being aware of the objects in the world around you. And then the hallucinatory case is described as parasitic on that case, as simply being a case where you're not in a position to tell that that's not going on.
This is all really interesting and intrinsically interesting. Many people have experienced certain sorts of illusions and possibly mild hallucinations as well. They are mysterious sorts of things, but why are you so interested in them?
I'm interested in them because I'm interested in ultimately trying to understand the nature of consciousness. And in studying consciousness, a good case to look at is the case of perception. And when you're studying perception, of course, it's vital to look at cases in which things go wrong, cases in which things break down and don't go as expected. And you have to be able to give an explanation of such cases. That's precisely what's going on in hallucination. Perception is going wrong, is breaking down in certain ways. And thinking about the different explanations for those breakdowns and what's going on when there's breakdown hopefully gives us some insight into thinking about the nature of consciousness.
Fiona McPherson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are now two Philosophy Bites books published by Oxford University Press, Philosophy Bites and Philosophy Bites Back. For more details, go to www.philosophybites.com.